You're listening to the Ministry Grow Show, brought to you by Reliant Creative, the creative agency for gospel-centered ministries. Find out more at reliantcreative.org.
Welcome to the Ministry Grow Show, a podcast dedicated to helping churches and ministries grow and make more effective impacts for the kingdom of God in an ever-changing digital world. Whether you're building and growing a gospel-centered ministry or leading a church, if you want insight into the strategies, struggles, challenges, and successes of other ministry leaders, you've come to the right place. Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking with Karen Jensen Salisbury. She's the founder of Karen Jensen Salisbury Ministries. Karen, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Zach. It's great to be here today.
Yeah. I'm excited to have you on. Can you tell us, to get started, just a little bit about Karen Jensen Salisbury Ministries? What's your guys' origin story and why do you exist?
Well, I have been in ministry my whole adult life. Early on, I pastored churches with my first husband, who then, when we were pastoring our second church in Boise, Idaho, he passed away suddenly at 37 years of age, and I ended up pastoring the church and whatnot. But then I moved back to Tulsa, and I've been in traveling ministry ever since. And really, my heart's desire is just to connect people with God on whatever level that means for them. Obviously, getting people saved, but then teaching from the Word of God. You know, no matter how close we feel to God right now, He wants to get even closer. And so that's just kind of my heart's cry.
Awesome. We didn't talk about this before we started, but that is where I reside. Well, just outside Boise, Idaho. So where? What part of Boise? Was it in Boise, or are you outside one of the outskirt towns?
Yeah, I'm in Boise. In fact, I lived on Broadway, you know, kind of right down. If you kept on going, you'd get to the stadium. Watch Boise State University.
Awesome. We're in Eagle, yeah. Idaho. So we're just outside Boise, just a little bit.
My kids live in Meridian, so you're not far from them.
Awesome. Very cool. Good. We have that connection. Can you share a little bit with our listeners your personal experience that led to writing this book, Why God, Why, and how that impacted your life? Like, what came about on the journey towards this book?
Yeah, well, I didn't write the book right away, but it starts with the story of my husband dying at age 37. He actually went to bed on New Year's night, 1997, and went to heaven. Hadn't been sick, just went to bed and went to heaven. And so you can imagine that was a little shocking. My children were 12 and 13 years old at the time. I have two sons. And, obviously, things happen in people's lives. Like I said, I didn't write the book for maybe 12, 14 years, but I wrote it because something happens to all of us, you know, something stunning, like, why in the world? What in the world just happened? And I find that sometimes people get stuck there. They get stuck in the whys, and they don't maybe continue on with the good life that God still has for them. You know, my sons and I call it God's other plan A. Because, you know, we thought we would be having this dad and this husband all of our lives, and he went to heaven without us. But God is not, he still has a good plan for your life. And I wanted to help people get past the pain and, you know, still embrace what God had for them.
So you said it was about 12 years between your husband's passing and writing that book. What was kind of the journey that the Lord took you on in mourning for your husband and then being maybe invited back into ministry and what was next in your life? Like, that was, sounds like it was a bit of a journey just to that book, but can you just dig into that a little bit deeper?
Sure. Well, at the time, of course, then I had to take over pastoring our church and raising the teenage sons and all that, you know, and I just knew that I had to have the Word of God. I had to have the Bible because, you know, the Bible is God talking to us. And it made me laugh. People would say to me at that time, you know, after my husband died, gosh, you're so brave to continue on with God. And I thought, this is no time to get mad at God and separate from Him when I needed Him so badly. So I I took the word of God and I just read it for hours and hours and hours every day. I pressed into God. I like to say I ran my finger down the page like a five-year-old learning to read. I knew I had to have it. And that's what made the difference, I believe, for me. I pressed into God like never before. You know, God is always available to us. Every time we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. But how many know we usually draw near to Him when we're in trouble? Right? And I was in trouble. I needed to, like you said, recover from his death. I needed to pastor the church. I needed to raise the teenage sons. All those things. And so I call it the worst time of my life because it was scary. You know, how am I going to parent these kids? How am I going to pastor this church? It was scary. But I also call it the best time of my life. And it's because I pressed into God and I found out, guess what? He's a very present help in times of trouble. You know, I fell in love with God all over again.
In your book, you mentioned that you had some questions for God after your husband's passing. Can you give a glimpse into some of the questions and the emotions that you were experiencing at that time?
Yeah, and I think it's the same for everybody. You know, you have questions. What just happened? Why didn't you tell me, God? What could I have done to avoid this? What went wrong? What about the scripture with long life, you'll satisfy us and show us your salvation? You know, I just had so many questions. And the premise of the book is, I believe you really can ask God all your tough questions. People will say in a very religious voice, you shouldn't question God. But I think that's a bunch of hooey because you're already asking the questions in your head. And the ones you don't ask him are the ones that stand between you and him. That's why people get mad at him. They stop talking to him, you know. So I say, go ahead and ask God all the tough questions you want. Get a big old legal size, you know, pad and just write them all down. What happened? Where were you? Why? Because he's heard them all before. You can't scare him. You know, you're not freaking him out. And so, and it helps you, the process. But then in the book, I liken it to a stew. You know, when you're making a stew, you chop up all the veggies and you throw them in the pot. You chop up all the meat and you throw it in a pot. But then what do? You push it to the back burner and let it cook while you go on the front burner cooking the rest of the dinner. And that's kind of what you do. Throw all your questions in a big pot. Go ahead. Be brave. You can't scare God. Ask them all. And then push it to the back burner of your life. Don't let those why God, why questions be the things that you're just running over and over and over in your head all day long. And get your focus back on the front burners. And that's really what the book is about. It talks about what to occupy your mind with instead of the pain, instead of the questions, instead of the hurt. They're still there, simmering away on the back burner, but now you move forward.
Yeah, this idea that I love the fact that we serve a God that invites us to come to Him with our questions and our concerns and our doubts. Like He says, He invites that. He invites us to come with those doubts and questions and concerns and to even pester him with those things. It kind of speaks to that. So that resonates a lot, and that's really helpful. Do you find that your readers and listeners often have challenges with believing in that truth, that he does want us to come to him with everything, not just the things that are going well in our life, but the struggles, the challenges, the questions that we have? Is that often something that is maybe a barrier in people's lives?
Yeah, I have the feeling, I get the feeling. I actually wrote another book called Closer Than You Ever Imagined, Experiencing the Deep Relationship with God You've Always Wanted. I think anytime you have a close relationship with something, someone, that, all conversations are up for having. You know, like if you and I were super good friends and I knew I could count on you and we've been through stuff together, so we know this is a true friend, I can talk to you about anything. And that's how it is with God. You know, he's like, you can talk to me about anything. I love you. I'm close to you. But again, if people aren't reading the Bible, and I'm kind of a harper on that, you know, because it's God talking to us. And mm-hmm. if you people are like, I want to hear from God. Well, he wrote something for you to hear from every single day. You know what I mean? You don't have to go any farther than the Bible. to find out his heart and what he thinks about you and what he said, so you can believe what he has said instead of how you're feeling right now. You know, and so in the book, I've got one right here. That's why I keep looking over there. Sorry. In the book, I go on to talk about all these topics that you can choose to focus on, because in the end, we all can choose what we think on. You know, that makes it sound like it's our responsibility, but truly, Zach, isn't it? I mean, we really can change what we think on. And if you can't, it's hard sometimes to think, oh man, I got to change my mind. I got to stop asking all these questions. I got to stop, you know, being so anxious and worried and fretful. But you can't really stop. What you really have to do is replace those thoughts. And the best thing I know to replace them with is the Bible. And that's really what the book is. It's kind of a instruction manual, if you will, for how to get walking past the pain, you know, how to keep moving forward with God.
I just finished a book by Dr. Kurt Thompson called The Anatomy of the Soul. And one of the things that he talked about, I think maybe later in the chapters of that book, is paying attention to what you're paying attention to. And just that practice of paying attention to what you're paying attention to, whether that's paying attention to what you're paying attention to in your own mind or externally, and the stuff that you're consuming, whether it be other voices and relationships or content and entertainment, has a significant impact in your walk with Christ. And so, that sounds very similar to some of the stuff that you're saying. Now, your book outlines maybe some specific guidelines, it sounds like, for getting one's life back when it doesn't make sense. Can you share some of those guidelines and strategies that readers can apply to their own lives?
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I talk about, you know. So if we put all our questions in a big pot and we push it to the back burner, then what do we think on? You know, if we've given our questions to God and we trust that he's, you know, working on them or going to answer if we need to know, or, you know, it's a trust factor. So then what do we occupy our mind with? And the book just has answers from the Bible. And one of the answers is know that he'll never let you go. He'll never let you go. He says, in fact, let me read you the scripture that I like to read in Hebrews from the Amplified Bible.
Yeah.
It says, God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you. I will not give you up nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless or forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. that's a mouthful, isn't it? That tells us that God is never, you are safe in his love. He is never going to let you down. And so many people feel like if they have a loss or they have a question, they're questioning God, that he's let them down in some way. And so you have to believe, if you believe the Bible, you have to believe this, you know? So that's one thing, just a whole chapter on thinking about how much God is there for you and how much he wants to continue your life in a good vein. And there's another chapter. Hang on, I lost the... There we go. Now, another one is, he still has a good plan for you. I just love that. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, and they're plans for good and not for evil, that you can have hope and an expected end. Now, that's kind of a mishmash of a bunch of different versions. But I love that verse because it tells you, A, there is a plan. Hallelujah. Right? So many people are on earth wondering, what am I here for? Why did I, you know, if they lost a loved one, why did I stay and they go? But God has a plan and he knows what it is. So press into him and help, let him help you continue to walk the plan. That's just a couple of them.
That's good. That's good. Well, Garen, I want to take a moment to hear from today's sponsor, but when we come back, I want to continue our discussion maybe discuss a little bit about how this can apply to ministry leaders and executives of ministries, being that that's our primary audience. So we'll dive into that when we get back.
Are you looking to grow your ministry but don't have the money and marketing knowledge to make that happen? There's good news. Google offers an advertising grant to churches and ministries that is worth $10,000 per month. This means that if your ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, are eligible to receive $120,000 per year allows you to place ads at the top of Google search results pages and drive thousands of visitors to your ministry website every month. Our sponsor, Click Nonprofit, helps your ministry acquire this Google ad grant and manages your Google ads to ensure you get the most out of the grant. Schedule a free consultation at clicknonprofit.com to learn more about how this grant can help your specific ministry. Mention the Ministry Growth Show when you sign up to get 20% off your first 3 months of management.
All right, welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We've been talking with Karen of Karen Jensen Salisbury Ministries. Karen, before the break, you mentioned moving past the pain to live in God's love and abundance. Can you elaborate on how you were able to do this specifically and what readers can learn from your journey?
Well, and you know, most for me, it was the Word of God, the Bible. In fact, anytime I feel panic or overwhelm or fear or insecurity, that's the place I go, because again, it's God talking to us. And think about that. God knows everything. Nobody disagrees about that subject. He knows everything. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's given us Word. We are born again, so we have his Spirit on the inside of us, and we are made to hear from him and made to get his answers. I always say that every day you go without reading the Bible is like a day you're trying to live life in your own strength, and it's too hard for you. You know, he wants us to cast every care over on him. He wants us, he says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry or have any anxiety about anything. I mean, it's in the Bible, so it's doable, right? But I think we have to give our focus to that instead of to the worries and the cares. And that's how you keep moving forward.
Yeah. Now, offline, you mentioned that God has been using you lately to encourage people to keep going. That when things get hard or when hard things happen, and it seems like there's no way out, that it's not over, to keep pushing. And a lot of ministry, we work in the ministry space. That's the context in which we work as an agency. A lot of ministry leaders, there's just this massive trend right now of ministry leaders who are burning out, and leaving the ministry, various reasons, all kinds of reasons, right? But what would you say to encourage those leaders within the context of that keep pushing, keep going, don't give up?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think keep going is my mantra for life, you know, because when you're in the middle of a struggle or a trial or a dark time, you feel like it's always going to be this way. I think that's the devil's best lie to people, is it's always going to be this way. And we know he's a liar. You know, I reference Psalm 23:4 a lot. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so you know what that means is there is a valley of shadow, Zach. You know, I wish there wasn't. I wish I could wrap us all in cotton, keep us safe, put us in a closet, you know, and make sure that nothing bad's ever going to happen to us. But that's no way to live, right? That's no life. And so we have to acknowledge, yes, there is a valley of shadow. But what the key word in that whole verse is through. Yea, though I walk through the valley. And too many people set up a camp there. You know, time to tear down the tent and keep going through that valley, knowing that you will come out the other side. You will be victorious because Jesus is in you and he bought the victory for you. You are born again to victory, you know. And I think that too many times in the ministry, we carry people's burdens. You know, we have the compassion of the Lord. We're called to help people, and people have a lot of problems. But too often we take those cares on ourselves instead of taking them to the Lord. I mean, you know, he flat said in 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. So don't make a camp in the valley and a camp with people's troubles and a camp with your troubles, because that's where it tends to get overwhelming and discouraging.
Yeah. How can ministry leaders differentiate between that idea of pushing through and tearing down camp and keeping tearing through, right? That piece of that verse, Psalm 23, that differentiate between that idea versus the idea that the Lord might be releasing them from ministry. Like I think that maybe is some of the struggle, is you run into hard things and
you quit.
Yeah. Yeah. How can we differentiate yeah. between those two things? Cause there are times when the Lord might be releasing us from ministry, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Or moving you to the next thing or whatever mm-hmm. that might be. But I think there's a desperation factor. You know what I'm saying? When you feel that desperate factor or that hopeless factor and you're like, I'm just quitting. That's not the Lord. You know what I mean? The Lord mm-hmm. is not a quitter. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, right? You fortify yourself with the word of God. I think when it's time for you to move on, and hopefully, again, this really, Zach, it all goes back to reading your Bible every day, spending time with God every day, getting closer to God every day, because when you're close to somebody, you hear their voice, and mm-hmm. he means for us to hear his voice, you know? And if you're making decisions out of stress, out of fear, out of anger, out of desperation, bitterness, any of those emotions, you're going the wrong way, right? I think that's how you can tell the quitting aspect. I quit, you know, I just can't take it anymore. I would encourage almost everybody to stop using that phrase, I can't take it anymore. Because the thing is, you can, you are on your way to victory. Jesus said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You know, it says in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Those are the things we have to focus on, you know. Now, if the Lord comes, I've had to change ministry positions, and because I'm not a pastor anymore, for example, I'm a traveler, you know, and that entailed God talking to me and saying, it's time for you to move here, it's time for you to do this. And I took time and prayer until I was sure that I knew what God was saying. I actually also wrote a book, not to be a commercial or anything, but I wrote a book on how to make the right decision every time. 10 keys for finding God's direction. And I find that not everybody knows how to find God's direction. You want to make sure you're in his plan. You know what I mean? And if it's not his plan for you to stop this and do something else, you're going to be miserable, right? His plan for you is his good plan. Doesn't mean it won't get hard, but there is a difference between running away and being moved by the Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, and within a ministry context, you can see why a lot of burnout takes place, because a lot of ministry leaders are taking on the burdens of others. They're bearing that on their own shoulders rather than maybe releasing that to the Lord and trusting him to take care of those things. You're dealing with, especially in places that are, maybe more difficult to reach or hostile to the gospel, you're dealing with the realities that there's real trauma in some of those places. There's real heartache and brokenness. And then on the flip side, especially within a context in which a lot of the ministries we talk with, where they're working in places that are unreached or unengaged and have no gospel presence, and a missionary or a ministry leader will go into a region or a part of the world where they're not seeing any fruit for generations, 5, 10, 15 years, there's nothing that's happening from their perspective. That can get really demoralizing. You can see how hard it is in those situations to push through and to continue on, even though you're not seeing any fruit.
I think it all goes back to that plan. You know, so God has a plan for each of us.
What would you say in those kind of situations? Some of those more really difficult situations.
Yeah. I have friends in really, really hard places too. And I think it all goes back to that knowing what God has called you to do. Because there's no safer place. There's no better place than to be in God's will, even if it's dangerous all around you. You know, so it kind of goes back to back up, talk to God, make sure you're in his plan, and then trust him, you know, and don't carry the cares of it. And ask yourself, you know, when you're feeling that hopeless feeling, be sure you're spending extra time with God. You know, go back to asking yourself, how's my devotional time? whenever I'm in trouble, I spend extra time in the Word because it has extra answers for me. You know, you have to know the sweet, still, small voice that leads and guides us, because God only wants the best for you. He only wants you in His perfect plan, and He's on our side, you know. And so it's that get with Him, get the plan, and then be sure you're hearing His voice and let him lead and guide you.
Yeah. Well, I know even in my own life, my struggle is the tendency to do, like constantly be driven towards the next thing and adding one more thing to my plate and taking on maybe too much rather than making sure that I'm disciplined in allowing space in my life to just be, right? Allowing space in my life to rest, but also just to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that in those seasons when my default is go and do rather than be, that's where I can get myself into some trouble. And so, yeah you can see why that kind of tendency is permeated, especially our Western church culture and ministry culture, is to just continue to do, go.
Yeah.
And fill every waking minute with activity for God, right? There's always that little additive on everything that we're doing, but are we really getting time to spend with Him and just be and be in His presence?
Yeah. I often tell people, if you're feeling harassed and overworked and overwhelmed, you know, stop for a minute and ask God, am I doing, and usually the answer is yes, am I doing things that you haven't called me to do? You know, they're good things, like you said, with the God tag on them, you know, but generally sometimes He'll say, yeah, stop doing this and stop doing this and stop doing this. Even if it's something you love, He'll give it back to you if you love it. But this may be a season where you need to take a chill pill. You know, anytime you have burnout, it means you're going too much. You're burning the candle at both ends. We've got to take care of our physical bodies. We've got to take care of our mental health. And we can do all of that by staying close to God. He'll nudge you. You know, He'll say, eat a vegetable, go exercise, and take some time off. Stop doing this and this and this and this. And He'll always help us. He loves us and wants us and needs us to fulfill our calling.
That's good. Karen, this has been a fun conversation. If people want to get a hold of you, learn more about what you're doing, do you have anything that you'd push them towards, or any new releases that you'd like to share?
Yeah, the best way is to go to my website, KarenSalisbury.org. You can, you know, access everything there. There's teachings. I have a lot of books there. My newest book is a daily devotional co-written with my podcast co-host, Jennifer Covello. And we have a podcast also. You can subscribe to the podcast there. Elevate the Day comes out once a week. And you can also read the first parts of all my books and, you know, order them from there. You can get teaching. You can get all sorts of things. Website, KarenSalisbury.org. That's Salisbury like the steak.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Karen. We really appreciate it. It's been a fun conversation.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Zach. It's been a blessing.
Yeah. As I wrap up, can I pray for you?
Yes, please.
Awesome. Father, I just lift up Karen and her team. Lift up the podcast and the books. I pray that you would just continue to go before her and her ministry and bless it. Lord, we pray that you would just give wisdom as they continue to develop new ideas and share new content and write new books. Lord, whatever they've got going on, we just lift up to you and ask that you would bless it and give it favor. Father, we love you. And thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Karen, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ministry Grow Show. If you enjoyed it, we'd appreciate it if you rate and or review us on the iTunes store. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a story to share with other ministry directors and pastors, or know someone who would be an incredible guest on the Ministry Grow Show, let us know. We love connecting with ministry executives and sharing their wisdom and insight with our audience. Just send us an email at info@reliantcreative.org. And lastly, if you need help telling your ministry story, we would love to share how we can help in that process. Check out Reliant Creative at reliantcreative.org. See you next time.